Hallelujah, Christ is risen. And he has ascended to sit at the right hand of God, where he rules over all things for your good, for the good of his holy church, redeemed by his precious blood. If you go through the book of James, or pick up a concordance, or do a computer search of the book of Peter, you will find that the word suffering, or some variant thereof, occurs multiple times, somewhere around the neighborhood of 20 times in Peter's five chapters. That is a high incidence of the word suffering or suffers or suffer or suffered. Suffering is a major theme in the first epistle of Peter, and we have it occur, that concept, that word, multiple times in today's epistle lesson. Peter begins addressing the church, addressing those to whom he corresponds, but since this is God's word, he's addressing, God himself is addressing us here in Mount Olive, Newton, North Carolina, not quite 2,000 years later. So consider these words as addressed to you, you collectively, you as the body of Christ in this place. Beloved, Peter begins, beloved, beloved by God in Christ Jesus, beloved by Peter, for Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it was out of faith in Christ, love for Christ, and love for the sheep committed to his care that Peter wrote these things. He tells him not to be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you or to tempt you. Don't be surprised if you suffer for the holy Christian faith, as though something strange were happening to you. Now, suffering for the Christian faith may be something strange in this country we live in, but it's getting less strange. The church today in this country is very much like the church of the first, second, and third centuries AD. We live in a culture that has been de-Christianized. We live in a culture that is rapidly becoming pagan. And I don't use that term pejoratively. A pagan is simply someone who does not believe in Christ. A number of my Facebook friends are open pagans. They admit it. They do not believe the gospel, and sometimes in discussions on Facebook, some of their friends have gotten pretty hostile toward any mention of Christ, any mention that Christians are saved by grace through faith in Christ, any mention of what Jesus says in today's gospel reading. This is eternal life, that you know the one true God. And here Jesus means Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That you know this one true God and Jesus Christ whom God has sent. Eternal life is always wrapped up in the truth. Eternal life is always wrapped up in Jesus, God's own Son, God in the flesh, God who came among us to suffer and die and be raised again for the remission of all of our sins. The early Christians suffered for the faith. The early Christians confessed that Jesus was Lord, although the political confession of the day was Caesar is Lord, the state is Lord. And at that time, there were loyalty oaths that one had to take to Caesar to show your loyalty to the state of Rome. A Roman official would come into your town. He would erect a bust of Caesar in the public square. There would be a little stand with an incense burner on it, and to show your loyalty, you would come and take a pinch of incense and throw it on the burner and say, "Caesar is Lord." The early Christians refused to do that. If they had done that, they could have worshiped their God in peace. But the confession of the New Testament is that Christ alone is Lord. No one can say that Jesus is Lord, Paul writes, except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven." So for a Christian to say that Caesar is Lord would be an act of apostasy. And that's when the persecution of the church broke out big time. It was not just the Jews persecuting Christians, as we saw when we heard about the martyrdom of Stephen a couple of weeks ago. Here the power of the state came against the Christian church. A fiery trial come upon these early believers to test them. But Peter says, don't be surprised about this. After all, Jesus said to us, his apostles, "If they hate me, they will hate you, the believers also. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you, the believers also." And then Peter does this neat little twist, and it seems outrageous to us. He says, if you suffer, don't think of it as something strange when it's for your faith in Christ, but rather rejoice. Rejoice because you are sharing in Christ's sufferings. You who have been united to Jesus' sufferings and death in holy baptism are made participants of his sufferings. Think about it this way. You men who have had a wife die, Bill, you and Phil and others, that wife's sufferings were your own sufferings too. So it is when the church suffers. Jesus himself suffers. The sufferings of the church are taken up into Jesus' sufferings so that Jesus can address Saul on the road to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" So if you suffer as a Christian, rejoice. Rejoice. It is a privilege, Peter says. And you're going to rejoice later when Christ's glory is revealed at the parousia. Peter goes on to say, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed by God, because the Spirit of glory and of God placed upon you in holy baptism still rests upon you. For how can you suffer for the name of Christ unless you have faith in Christ? Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and then he ties himself to this righteousness' sake when he immediately says, blessed are you when you are reviled, when your name is cast out as evil among men on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So suffering for Jesus is a mark of identity with Jesus. You suffer as a Christian. You suffer for your faith, whether it be by mockery, ridicule, or someone really comes against you and puts you down because you have faith in Jesus. You suffer for that faith precisely because you have faith in Christ. Precisely because Christ has identified you with himself in holy baptism. Then Peter says, well, yeah, suffer as a Christian. Don't worry about it. But don't let anyone suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler in church affairs. Now, Don't suffer for those things. Avoid those things. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. And that name is the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name before which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Rejoice, be glad whenever you suffer for the faith, even if that suffering gets pretty intense, as it would shortly do for these people to whom Peter is writing. For Nero's persecution was going to break out soon. Peter himself would be executed, crucified upside down during that persecution. Christians would become human torches to light the streets of Rome at nighttime. And yet they were to rejoice, because as Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This past Thursday, we celebrated the ascension of our Lord, his ascent in his divine and human natures to the right hand of God. His ascent is a testimony that he is now in the place of power, the place of authority, that he is Lord, that he is King, that he directs this universe, and he does so for your good and well-being as a Christian. He has overcome, and because you are united to him in your baptism, you will overcome too, even in the face of the worst kind of affliction. So if you suffer according to God's will, here's what you do, Peter says. Entrust your soul to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good as a believer in Christ. Entrust your souls. It's like what Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You can entrust your souls to a faithful Creator because Christ died for you. God was faithful to him. You are united to Christ in holy baptism. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are Christ's beloved bride. So you can entrust your souls to God who is faithful to his own. And then we have this admonition to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Peter was brought low when he was crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord was. And the Roman said, okay, we'll take care of that. Upside down on the cross with you. And yet he was exalted. The same with Paul, who literally lost his head because of his loyalty and his confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A man without a head is naturally brought low because he is dead. But look, Paul is with the Lord as Peter was. Paul is with Jesus, and he awaits the resurrection of the body as your loved ones who have died in Christ will. Certainly, the grave is the lowest place of all. And yet Christ exalts those who die in him and will raise them up to his right hand in their body. You have an adversary, however, who wants to destroy your faith. The Holy Christian Church faces an adversary who wants to wipe her out. Be sober-minded, be watchful, be aware. Peter writes, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Hence the bulletin cover that looks kind of strange. The devil wants to destroy your faith in Christ. The devil wants to attack the Holy Christian Church and destroy her. Humble yourselves before God. You cannot face this adversary on your own. Entrust your soul to a faithful Creator who loves you so much that He gave His very Son to die for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Entrust yourselves to this Creator and humble yourself before Him. Because He loves you, you are forgiven of all your sins in Christ. You have eternal life in Christ, and God has done this for you, for your eternal benefit, once again, on account of His love for you in Jesus Christ. So be watchful, be aware that the devil is out to make mischief. The devil is out to work harm against Christ's church. Resist him. Not in your own strength, but in the full armor of God in which you were clothed at holy baptism. Resist him, clinging to the word and promises of God in Christ Jesus. Resist him. Equip yourselves for battle by regularly hearing and learning God's holy word. By regularly coming to the sacrament of the altar, coming to this place where God's word is proclaimed. You know what you're doing when you come here? You're giving the devil one of these. And know that if you suffer, the same kind of suffering is being experienced by other Christians throughout the world. In most cases, a whole lot worse than what we face. But again, here's the promise. After you have suffered a little while, no matter how long that little while is as compared to eternity, the God of all grace who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, that's heaven, that's the resurrection of the body, will Himself restore you in Christ and His gospel, confirm you in Christ and His gospel, strengthen and establish you in Christ and His gospel. He's the one who does it, not you. So you can gladly entrust your soul to Him with confidence and joy. And to this God, the one true God, be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Or as we will pray in the Lord's Prayer very shortly, for thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory, for our benefit, because we are in Jesus, with sins forgiven, and we have eternal life in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.